path that we were on from last week. What did we talk about last week? Anybody here? Does anybody here remember? This is a test. What are we discussing? What are we looking at? Hebrews. The faith chapter, Hebrews 11, where it says that, you know, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we shared a little bit about what faith was and went through areas of some of the things that faith accomplishes in our lives. And if you want to hear that, I encourage you to go online and listen online on the website. It's on there. Then we shared a little bit as far as the faith chapter and went through and what read as far as great men and women of faith. You find that in 11, and it just starts by faith, by faith, by faith. And you can read those areas, and it just really, by the time you start getting about halfway through it, I would hope you start bubbling up like I was, because your faith begins to develop and grow just by reading those things that were accomplished by those way back. Amen. And those same things accomplished today, you know, I don't think we're building an ark or anything like that, or doing some things along that line, or marching around the walls and tumbling them down in the natural, but maybe in other areas of our lives, in the spiritual realm, maybe we're doing those things. But there's also, as we live this day out, we live it by faith, and we've got to realize those things. And so I want to continue in that vein of faith, of sharing. And we're going to look in some areas here in the New Testament. And we read a lot in the previous week about the great people of faith, and it was basically all those in the Old Testament that they were reflecting upon. But, you know, when you read in the New Testament, there's some wonderful areas of faith there that we can pick up on. I closed out last week by that of going to John 11, was it? And kind of just covering a little bit there of some things that was shared even in the men's breakfast and what we discussed there. And a lot of that was just believe in me, believe in me, just believe in him, amen. And that's what we've got to do today and all the days ahead. To choose hope is to believe that happiness and joy are attainable, again, despite what grief tells us. And I shared that. And a lot of this is this. You can believe in one or two things. The one area that we can control is how we respond. We can choose devastation and surrender, or you can choose hope and perseverance. I want hope and perseverance. I've already lived a life of defeat before I came to Christ. And what happened in the world and how the things in the world would get me down and just battling things and struggling with things and dealing with things and realizing that I was not conquering them until I had Christ in my life. And once I got Christ in my life, I began to know that I become a conqueror through him. And as I received him as my Lord and Savior, that began that faith. You know, we start out by just the totality of your salvation, and whether you believe it or not, it's going to affect your walk with him. If you receive him and at that time you ask him to forgive your sins, and weeks later you go back and the enemy continues to drop things into your thoughts that, well, do you really think you're saved? Do you really think he loved you? How could he do this? I wouldn't do that. Would you do that, Tim? If you knew somebody did all that, would you forgive them? Well, I'd probably agree with the devil. You know what? In my abilities, probably not. I couldn't do that. But I got to realize that it's not me, it's Christ. It's Jesus, what he's died. We had communion today and realization of what the blood has done and the sins that have been washed away, not just covered up. And so it's by faith I receive all those things. Do you by faith today receive that your sins have been washed away? Do you by faith today believe that Christ died for you and that, you know, he's there at the right hand of God the Father interceding for you and that you have a place in eternity reserved for you? It's by faith because I've not been there yet, have you? It's like that vacation where, you know, some people that have planned out vacations and, you know, and some of those that take big vacations, it's going to take maybe a lot of time or finances, they will, you know, do it 2 or 3 years out, planning these things out, putting money away, even contacting the travel agent and whatever they need to do. And they're saying, you know, 3 years or 2 years or next year or whatever, we're going to go to whatever. And it's not that they've been there, but by faith, they're making the arrangements to go there, aren't they? So, you know, we can look at that in some of the natural areas and what we live in. So even in the natural, we walk in areas of faith, of planning and seeing things ahead where I want to be. You know, if I was a person like that, I would say, a year from today, I want to be in Alaska, or I want to be in Montana on a vacation, or I want to be in Hawaii, or whatever the case might be, some faraway land, or just even something around that you would plan as a family or as an individual, that I'm planning for it, and I'm going to see it come about. Even though I might have tickets from the travel agent, doesn't guarantee that that's going to happen. Something could happen, you know, whatever the scheduling conflicts and whatnot. But we walk by faith even in our natural life, but it takes a lot more walking by faith because we're looking at the things of the future. And the Lord and his love for us shares it so greatly and lovingly throughout his book. And so we're going to look at just a few things at this level here of faith of the New Testament. Now, it starts out, if you go to Matthew 8 is going to be a chapter that really shows the authority of Jesus. And in that area of that chapter 8 and going into 9, you're going to find out there's levels of faith that are exhibited throughout these scriptures. And so Matthew 8 and going into 9 is kind of an area of Jesus showing his authority. And do you believe that Jesus has authority? I do. And you're going to see it exemplified in some of these passages that we read. Very to the get-go of 8:2, it says what? When he had come down from the mountain, and this is, you know, you got to find out, he was up on the mountain, and it starts way back in the Beatitudes, when him and people and all, they went up to the mountain, and he was sharing with the disciples and people, sharing the things of what they needed to know and understand. And so now we come to 8, and it says, when he had come down from that mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Willing would be looked at as to wish, a desire, to take delight in. It carries an idea of being ready, preferring, or having it in mind. And so this leper is just telling Jesus, you know, if you're willing, what? You can make me clean. Now, lepers back in those days, not a whole lot of people wanted to have a whole lot to do with them, did they? It was that of like a person a few years back that had AIDS or something in our modern society. It's like you didn't want to be around them. You didn't want to touch anything they touched. You didn't want any of their bodily fluids to touch you or whatever, because there's a good chance that you would be inflicted with that particular prognosis. And so we've got things in the modern days, similarities of those things that, you know, when that thing came out about AIDS, it caused a stir in the nation, didn't it? I mean, I didn't go to the dentist a whole lot anyway, but after reading some things that how people contracted it by going to the dentist because instruments weren't cleaned properly, they didn't take the necessary cleanliness and sterilization to, you know, all this little stuff that can hide in the crevices of all these things. And I was like, well, now I know why I don't go to a dentist. I thought it was just fear of pain. But it's like you heard stories of all these things happening, and you said, I've got to keep myself separate from those things so that possibly I don't get infected by that, you know? And whether it's that, blood transfusions, just basic things, you know, that just good people that were getting infected by it too. We know that AIDS really hit and became rampant with sexually transmitted type things, are shooting up bad needles and people sharing needles to shoot up drugs. I mean, all those things developed and it just started causing that thing to come through society. So back in the days of Jesus and thinking of the Old Testament and leprosy, you know, that person, they couldn't even come into town. Nobody would want it. You had to go outside. Just keep yourself away. So here, Jesus comes down, and could you imagine the multitude around him? Because it says, great multitudes followed him. I bet they probably went, when they saw the leper come to him, because they probably didn't want to be anywhere around that. They probably stood off from a pretty good distance. But this leper had this to say, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And what happened? Then Jesus put out his hand, and he touched him, and saying, I'm willing, be cleansed. Now, it doesn't say what a great man of faith that leper was, but as I read that, it's like he had to have some kind of faith just to be able to go up to Jesus and say, if you're willing, Lord, you could take this from me. He didn't go up and say, well, if you're willing, Lord, maybe you could take this from me, or you might be able to take this from me, or, you know, possibly you could take this from me. He was speaking it by saying what? That he says that, hold this post a note. Okay. Saying that, Lord, if you are willing. And we pray today in that same vein at times, don't we? It's not my will, it's his will. When I pray for situations for families, for situations for myself, for situations my family, your families, things for the church, we pray these things out, and I like to say, Lord, you know, if you're willing, I want your will to be accomplished in this. I want your will to be front and center of whatever happens within this scenario in my life, my family, the church. Now, we know through his promises that he's got great things for us, great blessings, promises of prosperity, and that's not just money and all that. It's just good health, strong health, you know, the abilities of these things. So we sometimes even pray today, Lord, let thy will, if your will is for this to happen, I know it'll happen. So that's an area there just starting out. Number one, you see the authority that Jesus had by just saying, you're clean. Powerful. I'm willing, be cleansed. Didn't go through a lot of hoopla there, did he? He didn't go and say, now there's other areas where he's talked about things and what you'd have to do and all, but you know, the things that Jesus did, just the authority that he walked in, he says, you're cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, go and have the officials look at you and let them give you the clean bill of health, because that's what had to be done back in those days to really fulfill, to say, hey, you know, look what's happened. We get down to the healing of a centurion's servant. The centurion asked Jesus to just to speak a word, and what would happen? Wow. We'll just continue on this path. Now in 5, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And what did Jesus say? I will come and heal him. Thank you. That's what I want. But then the centurion says what? Lord, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. So he's going in saying, I'm just not worthy for you to come under my roof, Lord. But I just know that if you do this, things will happen. And he explains in 9 about how he is a man of authority and how that authority gets him things and how people listen to him because of what? The authority that him as a centurion has under his abilities. Just like Jesus has what? Authority. So in 7, Jesus says, well, I will come and heal him. And then the centurion says, no, you know, you don't need to do that. But he says in the last part of 8, only speak a word, and what'll happen? My servant will be what? Healed. Jesus, you don't have to come all the way to my house for your manifested healing to take place upon my servant. All you've got to do is do what? Speak it out. Speak healing. Speak cleansing. Speak whatever it is that we need, and it will be done. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that encouraging? That's the same thing we look at today, that there's people going through tremendous things in health or whatever, and you know what? We don't have to go to the hospital to pray for the person. Now, there's a lot of people that would love people to just come up and go to the hospital, and they think for some reason with the clergy or the pastor or somebody there that's praying right there with them that their chance of being healed is a lot better. It's not. The power of prayer, when it is said in faith, activates the authority of the things that Jesus walks in. So we can walk in authority with Jesus and say, you know, someone is sick in the hospital, let's just pray on the phone, or I'll keep you in my prayers throughout the week, or whatever the case might be. Nowadays, there's sometimes people get in the hospital and they're dismissed before you even get up there to see them. It's like, oh, they went in today, I'll see you tomorrow. You go there and check on the desk, and they go, oh, they've been discharged and sent home. Well, okay. So hallelujah, that's why I love knowing the authority that I can walk in, that you can walk in, that Jesus walks in, and what I can do by just prayer, and you can do the same thing by prayer over the phone, or by prayer or whatever, just, you know, sharing with someone. But anyway, he says this, just speak the word, Jesus, and my servant will be healed. And here we get into, and when Jesus heard this in 10, he marveled. And he said those who followed him, could you imagine those that are following him? And a lot of times they followed him and saw signs of miracles and things that he did, and even when they had a situation come up, sometimes they would doubt. Well, how are you going to do that now, Lord? Think of the times when the feeding of the 5,000. He did that, and it was just a little while, a few chapters later, they came across 4,000. And it's like, well, how are you going to do this, Lord? It's like, how soon even those that followed him step by step by step forgot the power that he exhibited in the things that he could do. In 10, he says, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel, where it should have been. Hometown, the home state, the home country, you know. But the faith that centurion had marveled. My goodness. So he goes, and I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed, so let it be done for you. What do you believe today, guys? What do you believe? And it keeps coming back to this thing that we shared with the guys two Saturdays back now. And we went and shared about the Lazarus thing in John 11. It talks about just believe in me. We got to believe in him. Believe in his word. Just believe in this thing that he's done that we can look at him doing in our lives today. Believe in me. Don't give grief and pain the final word. Believe in him. Don't let your world come crashing down around you. Do what? Believe in him. And he says, go your way as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. So Jesus didn't go and lay hands on him, didn't even get anywhere close to him. So what brought the healing to that servant? Faith. The faith of his centurion, the centurion leader with his servant, knowing who he was speaking to, because he knew of authority. He knew what authority looked like. He knew what authority walked in. And when he saw Jesus, he saw there was an authority in that man that others around him didn't even see probably. And it's amazing that there's a few key people throughout these passages, whether it's the centurion or whether it's the lady with the issue of blood, which we'll get to, or whether different ones that came and just said, you just, you know, just speak the word and it'll be taken care of. What faith these people walked in. I want us to walk in that. I myself want to walk in that, don't you? My goodness, just to be able to say, by faith, I know that this is possible. So anyway, here he's saying, oh, I've not found such great faith. So I guess he's saying to the centurion, hey, you've got great faith. So then we get over to 23. Now, you know, he's come down, and in 23, he's saying he gets into a boat. After that, with a centurion, he goes and he heals Peter's mother-in-law, and there's many people healed, many are healed after the Sabbath sunset, which that raised some stir. And then he gets into 23, and now when he had gotten into a boat, his disciples followed him. Now that tells us when you've made a conscious effort of yourself that you're going to follow Jesus, you better be ready. Because there could be some rocking and rolling going on when we begin to follow Jesus. For the same things that he dealt with, the same tribulations and things that he had to go through, that probably means that if you're following that guy, guess what? You're probably going to feel and do the same things and hear or whatever the case might be. But anyway, now when they got into the boat, his disciples followed him when he. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. And what was Jesus doing? At the very end, he says, you know, suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves. That tells me that the things, natural things around them were overtaking them. The water that was calm at the beginning all of a sudden becomes wild and tempest. And waves are not just beating against the boat. What's it saying? But it's covered with waves. Now, I don't know. I've never had that opportunity to be in a boat where it was getting covered with waves. Have you? Have you, Lou? Is it a kind of a scary thing? Very. Because all you see is like, hey, there's more water coming in, and boats aren't supposed to have water in them. And you got a little bilge or whatever they call that stuff, you know, they're supposed to pump out the stuff. But, you know, you got to be careful there. But, you know, the waves will overtake the boat. Now, there's another thing I've learned, too. Bless his heart. I'm going out fishing with Pastor Howlett, and he was helping me understand just to get away from things, I guess, and just take some fishing time. And I never really was a fisherman, but I enjoyed those times when we did start going out. But I did learn one thing. Once you put the boat off the trailer and you get in it and you go about from here to the end of the wall or something or a little bit further back, and all of a sudden you look around and you're saying, man, there's water coming in here. That there's a plug that every boat has. And you got to plug it in, man. You unplug it when you take it out of the water so all the water drains out of the stuff under the boat or however the boat's designed or whatever the case might be. And so you leave that plug out. But you know what you got to do when you put it back in the water? Put the plug back in it. Because when you don't, you just start taking out on the high seas. All of a sudden you're saying, well, what's all this water doing coming in here? So I learned that. There's an adventure going with Pastor Hoblet. But we survived. It's like, okay, turn around. And you got to get the trailer back out and all that, and you got to lift it back out and put the plug, because the plug goes in underneath the thing, you know. It's not like you just plug it in from the inside. So anyway, but we're looking at this to where the boat is out there, the covered with waves now, and the one that can help us, what are the disciples doing at that time? I imagine they're not sleeping, huh? Because his disciples came to him, they awoke him, and they said to him what? Lord, save us. We are perishing. They were seeing the ultimate demise as the waves kept coming in. Now, and the thing you've got to remember, and we've shared this before, but remember now, these disciples, many of them were fishermen. And they were aware of the seas and what it took to be a boater, and what the waves meant, and how it was to navigate the waters, and what it was going to take. So these were not just unseasoned people that went out into a boat. These were fishermen. And so because they had the knowledge of some of that sometimes, they did realize that a boat can only hold so much water in it that's got to keep it out. And so they were getting fearful, and they were getting a little excited. So even the things that you deal with today, you may have knowledge of those things. You may be understanding of what these things are in your life to handle them, but all of a sudden it becomes what? Overwhelming. And before you're saying, well, I could take care of this before, it was no big deal. But then all of a sudden, the problems get a little bit more, and your waves of problems begin to overtake you. And then what do? Jesus! Wake up! Jesus! Where are you? And all the time, he was there right with you because he was calm and cool. He was there beside you. He says in the Word, God says, I will never what and what? Never leave you nor forsake you. Now, do you believe that? By faith, do you believe that? So if by faith I believe, he says in his Word, he'll never leave me nor forsake me, I've got to know that even though I'm going through just a terrible time, that I'm not alone. And once you realize that you know that you're not alone, then the devil will say, well, I guess there's no way of causing fear in him or her, because they got this faith working in their lives. And they've read the Word. And they've heard and they've read and they've gone to studies and they've read their Bible and they've gone to messages on Sunday morning. They've been to Bible studies on Wednesdays. They're building themselves up in the Word of God that they can stand and take on these problems by faith. Because when those guys saw the waves going over the sides of the boat, they didn't see an answer there other than what? Sinking. And so they get down there and they, Lord, save us. We're perishing. Even some of us today have probably said those same things in maybe a different way of saying, well, Lord, why did you bring me this far? Well, gosh, I think they said that to Moses, didn't they? Why did God take us out here this far and now kill us when he could have just killed us back where we were at? Even though the people in the Old Testament saw many, 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 everybody say many? Miracles from God. They saw many miracles from God, and yet once that miracle had passed and they'd gone on to another day and another situation came up in their life, here he is. God's killing us. Why is he doing this to us? He doesn't love us. He's bringing us out here. Today we see the same things in our lives possibly to where we go through a victory. And once that victory comes, you no longer need faith for it. Amen. Once it's come and gone, now, the thing is, that victory in the past builds your faith. It talks about we have, I was trying to find some pictures and stuff of faith, little faith and big faith, and your muscles as they develop. And we talk about how we exercise the body and do exercises to build up our strength. That's the same thing in the spiritual realm as far as we look at these things and working out in faith, is that you've got to go and work out in faith. You've got to build your faith muscles, so that you can take on bigger steps of faith. Because you cannot remain at one step level of faith. Your faith has got to begin to grow. And it should grow when you see his hand move mightily in a situation that only who could take care of? God. And when we see that situation, what God has done, we ought to sit there and say, I'm going to mark that down and remember it. And my faith has just developed a little bit more. My faith has developed a little bit more stamina. That when the waves of another problem come upon me, I don't really need to cry out to God. I will just begin to speak to that wave. Do you not believe that the power that they would walk in because of who they knew and who would be in them, that they could even, you know, calm the waves? And we can do that today in our lives because who is in us? Jesus Christ lives in us through that of the Holy Spirit, to where you can take authority over those things and speak with a faith that is believing and not just gobbledygook and not just Play-Doh or play putty, but it's the real stuff, to where you can take that authority over whatever situation that you're entering into, to know that you have that same authority. Amen. Because of who is in you. So you've got to get an understanding of who is in you. That's the one thing the enemy wants to keep you out of. The devil does not want you to know who could be in you. The devil knows that you've got Christ in you. But the devil wants to cause confusion in you, cause dissension in you, cause you to be crying out when the waves of a problem or the waves and the stress of life come upon you, to where you're going, "Oh, Jesus, where are you now? I'm out here to die." Lord, save us. We're perishing. I used to probably pray things like that or wonder when I was going through things. Like, "Oh, great, Lord. I thought I had the answer. I thought I knew exactly what you wanted, and now I'm totally lost." But then we go into 26, but he says to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of what? Little faith." Now, when you look at this word of little faith, this is where I was wanting to find a picture of some underdeveloped, because little faith could be looked at as just basically it's small, describing faith that lacks confidence or trust too little of Jesus or the power of God. Another way to term this is it's underdeveloped faith. See, now, we're all given a measure of faith, but whose responsibility is it to build that faith? It falls on us. He'll give us those areas of faith, and that little bit of each one has been given a measure of faith. You know, as we come to Christ, we look at that. It's by faith that we receive our salvation. Did you know that? It's by faith that we receive our salvation. So that's a big step of faith. Amen. And you got to know that you know that you know. And then you got to know, even though if you don't know, that you know that you know. Even if you begin to have doubts and all that, you can't live on your doubts. You got to begin to say, "Get out of here, doubt. I know I said this prayer. I know what his word says that if I confess my sins and call upon the name of the Lord, I will be saved." Amen. Amen. It doesn't say, like, when I call upon the name of the Lord, I will feel saved, that I might be saved. It says when you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be. Amen. Period. Exclamation point. No question mark. So we walk that, and once you receive that and say, "I am saved. My sins have been forgotten. My sins have been wiped out. My sins have been washed away. I'm going to live and I'm going to grow in the things of Christ. That is by faith I'm going to walk this walk out, and now I begin the faith walk." And now, that measure of faith that he's given me will start to develop. So we've got to begin to exercise those areas of faith. And so you want to, I would encourage you to start out with the little things of developing your faith, because it helps out when you develop and grow. Amen. It's almost impossible, not impossible, impossible, but almost impossible to go from here to here of a great, mighty thing of faith without taking some steps to get up that way. And the way we look at these things as different things that come across our path, you've got to notice that and put that and remember, mark it on your faith wall of areas of faith that you've had that have been accomplished. And then when you go into the next realm of things of problems, you go, "Oh my goodness, this is a problem. I'm going to have to pray about this, and I know that Lord has an answer, and I just wonder if it's going to work out. I know it's going to work out. I just know it. Father, I ask that your will be done in this, and I just pray that." And I'm going to say, how am I going to keep strong in those areas? Because I'm going to look back on my chalkboard, and I'm going to look at my tallies of my faith walk and say, well, he was there at that time. He was there at that time. This worked out. This worked out. This worked out. Now, I got to realize it was in his timing, not my timing, because that'll mess you up in that area of faith, because we've got our own timetable. But we realize he's got the ultimate timetable. And he will do these things so that he gets the glory. That was the thing about when Lazarus was dead. Remember that? You know, he waited 2 days before he even went that way. And by the time he got there, he was in the tomb for 4 days. Smelly, stinky, yucky poo. But he was going, and he says, "It's best that I didn't even go there when he asked, or when the people came to get me there, because this is going to be good for you guys to see that when I do get there," he was surely deader than a doornail. He wasn't just laying in bed, and I went up there, and, oh, he wasn't really dead. He was just passed out. No, by the time they got there 4 days in the grave, they knew, his followers, those around them, they knew that that guy was deader than a doornail. But when he walked in and said, roll the stone away, that was the faith there of rolling that stone away after they knew the body was in there, wrapped in cloths and stinking. So there's a big step of faith. But anyway, we saw that happen in that chapter. So we find out and realize that we need to adjust our timetable to God's timetable and just rest in it. Even though you still got a problem, you got to rest in his timetable. Even though you don't see the end result or the answer right now, you've got to rest in his timetable and say, Lord, by faith, I'm going to stand. And by faith, I'm going to believe. And by faith, I'm going to see it. And it could be, guys, as you prayed, that you may have prayed it the wrong prayer. You may have asked him to do the wrong thing. That's why it's always like, Lord, I pray this to happen, but ultimately, Lord, I want your will in it. Because if I'm praying wrong in an errant way, and he says, that's not my will, Tim, for that to happen. And chances and generally are that he probably won't answer it that way, unless he wants to teach me a lesson. But chances are, I believe, he won't answer that, because I'm wanting it my way. He's not the Burger King of heaven. You can't order it up the way you want it. If you want that, then go to McDonald's and Burger King and order the way you want your hamburger made. They'll do that. Could you imagine driving up there and going, order something? How would you like it? Well, it's your will. How do you want me to have it? That little lady and that guy in the squawk box go, sorry, what did you say? Can I help you? How would you like that? Your will, or however you want me to have it. No! We go there and we can order exactly what we want, but I tell you what, when we go to heaven and we pray to him and we ask God for his will and his direction in our situation, it's got to be his will. He'll either give it with pickles on it or he'll leave the pickles off. He'll give it with onion or he'll put ketchup on it. Whatever the case might be, but it's his will in that situation in your life that you've got to have his answer in. And then if you don't understand it, you know what you need to do? Lord, I don't understand it. Help me understand. I believe you. I trust you. There's many things, and the things that we've gone through, myself and my wife and myself together as a couple, and even getting into this thing of pastoring and all this, that I have no understanding. I didn't understand any of this stuff, how it was going to work out and if it would work out. But it was by faith. You had to just go into it and say, Lord, here we are. And I'm so messed up of what I think I should do or what should be done. I would just want your will to be done. So we get into this area to where we find that, you know, ye of little faith, that underdeveloped faith. We all start out with that underdeveloped faith, and I want to encourage you to build your faith. You know, muscles. Anyway, we get into 9, and this is an interesting one of a faith area, because what happens in 9? So he got out of the boat, crossed over, so he got into a boat and crossed over and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And this guy was paralyzed, right? So what does it say? When Jesus saw the paralytic's faith, or whose faith? The ones that were carrying him and brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at the other's faith and said what? He said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemies. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think it evil in your hearts? For which is it easier to say that your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. And then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose, and he departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled, and they glorified God, who had given such power to men. But the thing there in that faith is this, that it's when Jesus saw their faith. So there will be people that look at you, and you will see situations in people's lives that they may not see the answer, but you know a God who has the answer. And you have the faith that when you pray for a person, that you might have the faith that they're holding on to, or by your faith. And I believe that's happened in sometimes of our prayers with people that are sick, don't you? Amen. That it's like, you know, they're in a situation to where their faith is really drained, or they don't have that type of faith, but I tell you what, when you begin to pray for someone else and you just really feel it where? Here, somewhere in the heart, in the soul, in the spirit of the person that's praying, you just walk it out and say, I just believe this is going to happen to you. And the things that we want to do is to encourage them and say, don't give up the will to live. Don't give up the fight. Just stay strong. Just stay hooked up, you know, of saying, I'm going to get better, or whatever the case might be. They might say, I'm going to get better, but I don't know if I'm going to get better. I'm going to get better, but I don't know if I'm going to get better. Well, you just keep saying, I'm going to get better. You may not know if you're going to get better, but I do know you're going to get better, because I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to continue to pray for you. And it's by the faith that the Lord saw, by their faith, that that paralytic was healed. Now, it may not happen all the time, but there's instances in the Word here that's showing us that there's a mighty force in the area of faith. Whether it's faith for situations that you're going through, or faith that you have for something else that somebody else is going through. And I think I can go back to those times because I've seen the faith in my life build and accomplish things. And so I'm hanging on to those things as I pray for others in needs of things and just pray, Lord, I just pray that you just touch that situation, heal them, help them with that job, help them with that level of income, whatever the case might be. Just show your hand in their situation. Let them know that it is you fulfilling something in their life. And that answer, let that be something that may draw them closer to you. So anyway, we see that, you know, a faith of others will help accomplish things too. Isn't that neat to know? It's exciting. It gives us a charge, man. It's not to build us up. I'm not building myself up when I pray for people like that and they get healed or they come out of the hospital or they get a job or they whatever the case might be. It's not like, woohoo, look what I did. No, I go right back and say, thank you, Lord, for honoring your word. Thank you, Lord, for having just compassion upon that situation. Even though that person maybe wasn't serving you. Maybe that person's not even, that person's a sinner, not even serving you. He's not even saved. But I pray, Lord, that through that situation, he sees the power that you have, and that will draw him to you by that sign. And they will receive you. I would hope it works that way, you know. So we go on, and we go on. We didn't get into the areas, but we'll kind of look just quickly here as we wrap this up. Oh, my. God. Well, we got to. I was wanting to get into that area of the girl restored to life, and there's some things there to look at in that realm, in that area of faith. Because, yeah, we got to do that. I don't want to rush through that. I believe the Lord's got some things I want to share and expound upon some of those areas. So we'll just kind of stop at that point here. But if you want to kind of look at next week, why don't you go ahead and read a little bit of Matthew, you know, 9:18 and 9:27, you know, just kind of seeing these things, that the power of God moving in these lives. It's wonderful. I think it's powerful to think that a person that had that need didn't even really need to speak to Jesus. She just needed to touch his garment. The faith that person had. Do you have that faith? That's faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to wait on you for your